Right. Okay. So this is not beta dog training. This is make it weird.
Come on.
Dog stuff and occasional nonsense. And we are, what are we here to talk about? We agreed this while we were pottying dogs.
Yes, we did.
Oh, what good clients? What makes a good client?
How to be a good client.
How to. How yes. To. Let's all do about this as a how to.
Tips and tricks here. Here are your tips and tricks for the owners.
Yeah. I just made this as a TikTok. And if one more person asked me for a tip. One? Yeah, I did.
Really?
Yeah, it went like decently.
Did well.
Yeah,
did well.
Did okay.
Did you find a comment that says, where's the podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what's funny to me? I posted that one video of Juvie getting his PDC, like, mm-hmm. like the little one. And I literally have like two comments on it. And one of them is literally like, so proud of Juvie. When's the next podcast? Which I find fucking hilarious because it's like, that's just my account. I don't give a shit. Like, nobody. And yet, like, there's only two comments on the video. And one of them is, where's the podcast?
And I think the other one is me.
Probably.
Yeah.
So,
hey, you guys should all go find Sienna on TikTok.
That's not what we're doing.
No, but, you should.
Nah.
Because then you can watch Juvie do parts of a PDC.
Parts.
And you can watch Oakley rap a lot of stuff. She raps stuff. She handstands stuff. You do a lot of ghetto dog training.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, people need to learn how to ghetto dog train.
Oh,
wait, we're doing a how-to.
No, people learn how to need to be... People need to learn how to be good clients. I need to find the segue. I was so ready to. I just could not remember what we started talking about.
Listen, there is no segue. There is just, listen, how to be a good client.
Yeah.
Everybody grab a pen. Like, no.
Stab your eyes with them.
There's so many people on, like, on the social medias and everywhere, and that we talk to in person. So there's so many people that we end up getting as clients, and there's so many people that comment on stuff online that's like, well, I contacted, like, 43 trainers. And no one responded. And that is definitely an industry problem, and that's fine. Yeah. That is also an industry problem. But there are also sometimes red flags that trainers then choose not to respond.
You're the problem.
Yep.
It's you.
Yep. But if you've actually like started working with a trainer, there are ways that you can be a client that sticks out. I'm going to tell you, like, I will go to the ends of the earth for clients that go, like, they go to the end of the earth for their dogs. Like, 110%.
Honestly, if you're not shit, I'm willing to do a lot.
Yeah.
I'm willing to do a lot.
Yes. 100%.
If you're just not a dick.
Yes.
Wow. Like, gold star.
So step one, just don't be a dick. Don't be a dick to us, which I'm like, okay, fine. But don't be a dick to your dog.
And also, guys, this is also just like, this is a good life lesson as well. Just don't be a dick anywhere.
Yeah, that's, you know what? I can't subscribe to that completely. I do have my asshole-ish tendencies, and that's fine. But like,
fair enough.
You have made your dog live in your house with you.
Yeah.
You are holding your dog captive. You cannot be a dick to your dog. Like, don't be a dick to your dog. And for the love of God, do not be a dick to your dog in front of me.
And please know that's not going to go well. That there are different definitions of being a dick to your dog. Mm-hmm. And if you're sitting here going, oh, being a dick to your dog means, like, you beat him with chains.
Yeah.
Like, definitely don't do that. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's many degrees.
Yes.
And we're more so focusing on the, maybe not beat your dog, but, like, the
less everybody knows, hey, don't beat your dog with chains. But we also were like, don't be unfair to your dog.
No.
Right? Like, don't be unfair to your dog. Maybe take a step back and have some self-awareness of what role you play in your dog's life. Sometimes that is a positive role. Sometimes it's not as positive as you think it is. And that needs to be acknowledged and rectified sometimes. Mm-hmm. But give them a chance to learn something. Give them a chance to get something right or something wrong. Do things
for them.
Yes. Yeah, attend training for them, not for you. Like,
right.
I mean, attend training
it's
for
you, too.
It's
a double whammy, but like...
Yeah, like, for number them. One...
Do
if
stuff
you,
for them.
Yeah, if you walk in and you're an asshole to me, I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting, but sure. But if you walk in and you are a dick to your dog, or the person you've brought with you,
oof,
that also lives in your
house... God help you.
Let me... Well, that's a fun one. I deal with that in a very specific way. But... If you are a dick to your dog, we here at Beta Dog Training and Make It Weird, we'll call you out on it very, very quickly, actually. we don't really have any qualms about being like, that's not fair.
Right.
That's super rude. Don't do that. But like, that's one of the fastest ways that I'm going to go from, okay, this is a good fit, this might be a good fit, to absolutely
you're
not.
Done.
You're done. You can either get with the program of not being a dick to your dog, or you can get fired right away on the spot. I will fire you as a client. I do not care.
Love it.
So number one, just, and that doesn't mean you have to know everything going in.
No.
We know that you're not going to know everything. We're just like, hey, if you're learning something and it's taking you a hot second to learn it, expecting your dog to learn it immediately and then just either like cranking them or yelling at them or just going
getting
over,
so not frustrated.
Yes. Yes. Like, if you're frustrated, how frustrated do you think they are?
Right.
Like, rule number one, don't be a dick
to your dog.
To your dog. Or the people you bring with you. You can actually be a dick to me. I'm actually okay with that. Yeah, I am good with that. But God help you if you are to the person you bring with you or your dog. That's not cool.
It's a big no.
That's a big no. Big no. So rule number one, be fair. Don't be a dick. What else makes a good client? Like, here's a concept. If we say, like, training is not just about the hour you attend training. Training is about the times in between classes. Because, like, a lot of times we do a lot of talking in our classes. So we talk a lot, and you practice some things, and that's cool.
But we're teaching.
Like, we're teaching and you're learning.
You don't have this information, we're going to give you this information.
Yes, 100%. But you need to take that information and go home with that. And do the homework.
Yes.
So here is the, I think it's like a national secret, maybe.
Okay.
Is it an, okay, I'm, prepare yourself. We, as dog trainers that have met you week one, can tell when you come back.
No.
Whether or not you did the thing we asked you to do. And if you try and like, straight up lie through it, your dog is telling us something different.
Wait.
Okay, what?
So you're saying...
What?
Like, you can tell. So, like, because once upon... you're telling me I was your client once upon
a
time. So you're telling me you would know. You can tell.
Yeah.
If I'm lying, if I did a shit ton of work or not.
I'm psychic.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Well, why are we running a dog training business?
Right?
If we can make $1 million going to Vegas, you could become the next big... Wow, psychic mind reader.
Yeah. Only for dogs that I have met in week one, though. And then I see you a week later. Like, guys, this is what we do for a living. We see dog behavior. We've met you. We've met the dog. We've seen your evaluation form, which in our case is quite extensive. If you come in and we say, okay, we see this. We've made a baseline for the dog. And then you come back and it's been 7 to 14 days. And we're like, have you done this every day? And you're like, I have done this every day. And then we go, okay.
Do it.
Show me. Is sometimes that the hardest question on the planet? Or here's the thing is, like, sometimes we ask very skill testing follow-up questions.
Very skill testing.
Sienna is also very good at these. Things like, okay, so you did that in your kitchen. You did. You did that in your house? Cool. Okay, what did that look like? Well... It looks like what you told me to do. Right.
What did your dog do? What does that look like to you?
Yeah.
I know what it looks like. Do you know what it looks like?
Sometimes the best follow-up question is, like, they come back and I'm like, hey, so did you do this? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, okay, what time of day? And literally, you've hit a blank when they just stare at you.
And this is a good follow-up to our last episode. Did you do it on leash?
Because
it takes a beat to even remember if it's been on leash or not. Because I don't care if you haven't done it on leash sometimes. But I'm just like, if I can't describe the color of the room.
Yes.
What door? Quick, close your eyes. What color is the crate door?
Yeah. This like, it's very, it's not even hard to tell whether or not you've done it.
Well, and here's the biggest kicker. It's like, it's not like we're looking at extremes. Like, we can only tell if you've done 70,000 reps or zero reps. Like, no, we can tell the difference between, okay, you've worked on this a couple times. You've worked on this every day. You've worked on this maybe a couple. Like, we can tell. The dog will tell us how many times it's seen this picture. And again, we don't expect anyone to be a goddamn dog trainer. No. That's my job. Actually, that is my job. I don't want you to take that. That's my title. Don't take my job. Don't take my stuff. I'll be dog trainer. You be plumber. You be
other things. You be person with your other thing. We know you didn't train your dog 5 hours a day.
That'd be weird if you came in and said, we spent 40 hours a week training. I'd be like, bro, do you want a job? Like, this is weird. Like, this is a weird interaction than if you were spending 40 hours on this. So, but like, you can do somewhere in between 40 hours and zero. Yeah. Did you know that?
And I mean, if you did it once, like, just be honest. I think the moral here is just don't lie.
That's rule number two. Don't lie.
Yeah.
Because the other thing is, we talk a lot about how much we work, but we also know other people don't work as much and have lives and things happen.
And the other thing is, we know your life happens. Like, life happens. I had somebody come back and be like, I'm so sorry, I didn't do it. And they were super honest. I was like, that's cool, bro. I was like, you seem kind of weird. And they're like, yeah, like, my dad died. And I was like, it was a very close family member. I can't remember. And I just was like, whoa. Well, okay, you didn't even have to show up today. Like, what? What? How long ago? Like, I saw you a week ago. Bro, are you good? Like, but do you want to go home? You don't have to train your dog. Like, this is not an emergency that has to happen right now. Your dog is fine.
Okay. Like, it's okay. And, like, even just the littler ones of, like, we get it. Like, you might have been really busy this week and maybe you didn't get a chance to practice every single day. That's not an excuse, but it is. There's a difference between an excuse and, like, just being honest. Like, if you're coming and saying, hey, I tried it once or twice, but, like, to be very honest, my kid had the flu. Shit was hitting the fan.
Yeah. But if you did this once or twice and then you come in and you're like, because you did it once the day after training and the dog did it well, so you never did it again. And then when you come in and we're like, hey, so did you do this every day? And you immediately launch into, I did it every day for sure. This is what I did. I know right there that Well, I'm like, okay, cool. Did you do it on leash? Cool. Right. What time of day? When did you do it? After work? And then they just kind of stare at you. And I'm like, why? Gotcha. Why are we, why are we lying about it? Did it a couple times. I can see you did it a couple times. Okay.
Like, just be honest.
Yeah. When it's like, okay, so you did this. They're like, yes. And then you're like, okay, how many times? And with something like place work and tie back work, people will be like, oh, they'll say yes right away. So proud. Immediate answer. Yes. They do not want a follow-up question. I did it. And then it's like, okay, when or how many times? And people will be like, once.
And like, I don't know, it's just kind of like, this is a safe space. It's okay. Like, I'm,
you can tell me.
If you tell me it's a no, I may, depending on the circumstance, might not be like thrilled, but I'm not gonna, I'm not gonna throw stuff at you.
Yes.
I'm not gonna throw, like, it's fine.
Like, if you, if you just have a dog that has problems and you come and you pay your money and we tell you what to do and you come back and you have not done that, and then you lie about it, I'm literally just going to tell you to do the same thing again. I'm going to be like, okay, we're going to go over it again. If you have a dog with such significant problems that I give you the homework and I'm like, no, you have to do this for the safety of the dog or for the situation or whatever. Like, this is no longer negotiable. Someone is at risk. The dog is at risk. Something is happening. I will tell you, like, if you are ever a client of mine or you have been a client of mine, if you are in a situation where I'm like, this is non-negotiable, you have to do this every day. You have to do 3 sessions of this a day. You have to use a tie back. You have to go get a muzzle. I will also tell you, all right, so this is actually serious. If you don't do your homework, that is literally putting someone at risk. If you don't do the things I'm telling you to do, you are at risk. Your community is at risk. Your dog is at risk. If you don't do what I'm telling you to do, I will know. And I do not accept that more than once. If you do not do what I tell you to do and you lie about it, I will fire you on the spot. Mm-hmm. Right? Because if it's a safety issue, and I have that conversation at the beginning of any...
You make that very clear.
Yes. I make that very clear if you're in that situation that, like, this is so critical that I don't care if you work late one day. I don't care if your life is really busy right now. Like, your dog is biting you. Your dog is...
biting others. This dog is biting the other animals.
This is no longer safe at all. I tell you, like, I'm very, very honest from the get-go that, like, this isn't a thing. There's very few situations that are like that, though. If you come back and you're like, listen, I tried. But I didn't get as much done as I thought I would. Because it turns out my life is really busy, yeah. like everyone else's life well, right like, now. And I thought I would have time every day, and I didn't. I got a couple sessions in, but like, I'm like, cool. Now I know where our baseline is. I also know how much homework to actually give you.
Yes.
Because you're not a dog trainer. I know you don't have 5 hours a day to train your dog. If I find out you only have a little bit of time here or there, then I can adjust what I'm going to give you. If you tell me you trained every day, you did 4 sessions a day, you did all this, then I'm going to assume, oh, hey, you have 4 sessions a day worth of time.
Yes.
But again, you've told me you have 4 sessions a day, and then your dog has told me
one.
He did it twice.
Maybe one.
Maybe one.
It's a very light one.
Yeah. One and a half. A half of one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not one and a half. No, I went down. I was like, whoa. You were like, ooh, we escalated. Right. Yeah, so number one, don't be a dick. Number two,
don't
like
lie.
Do your homework. We want you to do the thing, but like don't lie.
Don't lie.
Don't lie about your dog's problems. Don't lie about the homework you're getting. Don't lie about what you are or
don't
are not doing.
Don't lie to yourself.
Yeah, don't lie about what you are also willing to do. Yep. Right? Oh, well, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But you smile and if you smile and nod at the trainer and you go, "Yes, I will definitely do that," and then you come back and you haven't done that, that's...
Like, I'm making a training plan for your dog.
Yes.
And that, like, that means I have to know the goals we're working with. I don't yes. know the time. I'm making a training plan. And the thing is, if you're lying to me, it's not going to be a great yeah. training plan, and you're not going to get the goals I and set out for you. Like
the funny thing is, like, again, you said, hey, that's my title, that's my job. This is our job. If
yes.
you tell us, I actually am not willing to do that. I don't have the space for a crate. I'm living in my car. I'm not willing to use
yep.
this tool. I'm not willing to do this.
Well,
I'm
pivot.
Not. I can't hand feed because I feed raw and whatever. Like, whatever. Whatever your issue is, bro, this is our job.
Right.
We can come up with an alternate one. We can, but we can't do that if we don't know that.
I can't troubleshoot things that, like, haven't been done.
Yeah, and we also can't troubleshoot things
that's like
that
my
we don't
one.
Know. If we had one client that came for a board and train a couple years ago, and this was when I started asking this question of, does that work for you?
Oh, yes.
Like, is it possible? I always ask at the end of, not always,
sense.
But just about all the time, with all clients in all situations, I go, okay, does that work for, do you think it will work, number one?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, does that work for you? Because that's when sometimes things have popped out like, oh, yeah, no, I think it'll work. It's just, like you said, use a crate. And this one lady had an issue with her hand.
Yeah.
It was not noticeable. Like, I just spent an hour and a half training her. That was fine. But it wasn't like it was noticeable, but it turns out she couldn't move her hand. Like, her hand had very, very little function in it. And that's when we found out, because we're going on about crates and whatever. She came back the next week and we said, like, did you get a crate and whatever? And she said, no. And then we found out she had a thing in her hand. Well, the only crate she'd ever used was an airline style crate with the clip latches that you like
pinch.
Compress and pinch. And she didn't get a crate because she literally only ever seen a crate door like that. And she couldn't work the crate door. So, cause we were like, well, why did, okay, you didn't get a crate. Like, okay, well, that's kind of a necessary thing for you in this circumstance. Like, is there a reason? And that's when she launched this out. And we were just like, oh my God, no. Like, here's different types of crates. Here's
right.
this, here's that.
We'll
like,
pivot.
We troubleshooted that in 30 seconds. And she was literally like, oh. And I'm like, yeah, no. Tell me if it's not going to work for you.
Yeah.
I've had people, I had a client really recently where I was like, hey, so it was their first lesson. So it was like, here, do this. And I was like, right, do you think it'll work? Okay, yeah. Was that going to work for you? Well, you know, I know we see you next week, but we're actually away for 5 of those days.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, okay, pivoting. These two things, nix them,
right.
But then we're going to do this, but we're going to do it differently, and we're going to do this. And I was like, that's totally fine, but if they had
better
come
to know.
Back. Yeah. So it's like, be honest also about what you are and are not willing to do, what you can and cannot do. If legitimately, I mean, everybody's life is different.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, if you've hired a trainer, it is our job to troubleshoot your life. It is our job to troubleshoot your dog. But we can only troubleshoot within the realm of what we think exists. So if we think your life is a certain way and you have access to all these things or this is the situation, and it turns out it's completely different, you don't have floor space for a crate. You are living in your car. Like, those are things that are our responsibility to troubleshoot. We can do that, but we can't know we can't do it if we don't know it exists.
Right.
Right. So yeah. So yeah. Also just, yeah. So just be honest, be so honest. Right. That's such a nice thing. Words. Yeah. Oh God. What else makes a really good client? Honestly, if I have those, I can work with just about anything at that point in time. I really can. But I really like clients that have the ability to, like, prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that can take a really frank kind of... They're aware enough to look at all their behaviors, and it's like, okay, yes, your dog does not have great recall. That is unfortunate. Your dog is also biting children. And if you walk in the room and you're like... I really care about this recall situation.
They don't come back.
But also, my dog is biting my child.
But like...
That's like the afterthought. We have questions. So take a really frank look at like... I like clients that are self-aware of their own situation. I like clients that are very aware of their dog situation. But I also like clients that are willing to prioritize the things that are actually important versus the things that they want.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that want their dog to be good for this, this, and this. I'm like, okay, and I love that. That's great. But you also have a need in this moment. So we do mods. So we do a lot of dogs that, I mean, owners have a lot of wants. They get a dog. They have a lot of dreams. They want to go to an agility class.
And hope.
Everybody's dream is they want to go to an agility class and they want to go to a patio.
I was going
to
say they want to go camping. The
Oh, the lake.
They
want to
go to the fucking lake.
The lake. We the have lake. So many feelings about the lake.
Fuck the lake.
But I'm like, okay, so yes, you want your dog to go to the lake. That's great. Also, though, one of you has to be home at all times because your dog cannot be left alone in any situation for even 30 seconds. Like, one of you has to be in the house while the other one takes the garbage out because, like, we cannot be. So I'm like, right, I know we want to go to the lake and we want to recall out of the lake and that's really great. But also, you have a separate issue.
But just a bigger issue, one could say.
It's like, okay, yes, you want to go to the lake. That's great. You also have a dog that, like, jumps fence continuously, breaks out of crates, eats the neighbor, eats the other dog in the home.
Oh, so many gosh. People
that are like, well, I want them to be friends.
Yes.
I want them to be friends so we can all go to the lake, but...
Get in the road. Yes. Get in the car. We'll go to the lake.
Yeah, but they are trying to kill each other in the house, like, a lot. Like, the other one has, like, 10 stitches, so I couldn't bring it. But this one, I just really, really want them to get along so we can go to the lake. And I'm like, do you also maybe want them to get along so the other one doesn't die? Like,
That's a toughie.
Yep. I like owners that prioritize well. I also like owners that maybe prioritize the health and safety of everyone else in their life as well as the dog.
Yeah.
Well, not just the wants. Just saying.
As far as clients, this is more of a pet peeve of mine. But if you're a client and you're, like, working with a trainer and you're, like, getting their help and, like, you're paying them for their services.
Oh, God, stuff, yes. I see where this is going.
It's personally my pet peeve that if you've hired me and we worked together and then God help it if you like it.
This is great. Like, thank you so much. You're so good.
Yes.
And you've seen progress and you've hired 5 trainers before us and that wasn't the case.
Maybe, just maybe, do not ask for a referral to another trainer. And I'm not talking like, oh, you're moving cross country and you would like another trainer.
That's totally acceptable.
That's acceptable. We love that. Good for you. I'm talking... Well, you guys are 30 minutes away from where I live, so do you know of any trainers that are 5 minutes away?
Literally that.
Do not come to me and ask for me, like, don't ask me where you can get the same service I'm providing, but either better or cheaper or closer. Because you know what? If you decide to go that route, for whatever reason we don't work out or you change your mind, that's fine. But you do not stand there and then ask me for where you can get that, because I find it incredibly rude.
Yeah. I really like when they stand there and they tell you, thank you. This has been so great. You've been so helpful. Wow, I can't believe the progress.
You're the only one who could touch my dog.
Yeah, in one case, yes, we are the only one outside of you and your partner that can touch your dog. But they lied about how far it was. They're like, well, it's over an hour to get here. It was, I have their address. It was 42 minutes.
Yep.
It's 42 minutes. You've been through 5 trainers before us. Years of this, bites on people, not great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just really far to come out. So, like, do you know anybody, like, closer that could just do this?
Like,
no, actually, I don't.
I know me.
You've tried them all, actually. You tried, like, every trainer between us and you.
Because it's multiple things, but I find it incredibly rude for so many layers of reasons.
Yes.
But, like, one of them is, for example, you would never go to any other service or product or anywhere else. Like, you would not go to your dentist and say, wow, I think you're the best dentist in the world. You've really helped my teeth. Do you know any other dentists that are cheaper? Like, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a thing. Oh, bakery. I love these homemade cupcakes. These are the best cupcakes in town. Oh, my gosh. I want them for my wedding. But do you know of anyone that would make this same recipe but for cheaper?
Yeah, that's No, it's such a weird thing.
And here's the thing. You can have that opinion. You could go, wow, I'm too lazy. And I will say, I'm too lazy to drive 45 minutes. Sure, have that opinion and I don't care. Do your own research. I'm not doing your research for you.
No.
Because
no.
I can do it. I can do it. I'm here. Yeah. I'm good at it. There's no need to then ask me who can do it better, who can do it cheaper, who can do it closer. Because it's personally just like, it really is just incredibly rude. And certainly, do not do it after you've done a whole like program or something and you've seen progress. It's one thing to just not be a match with a trainer. That happens.
Yes, absolutely.
That happens all the time. That is
fine. And in that case, absolutely, like, have that conversation, or I've had that conversation where I'm like, I just don't think this is a good fit. I think I know someone who might be.
I was going to say, there's also a lot 100%. Of different niches. So, like, I'm sure, like, if people come to you asking for agility,
oh, yeah.
You never take that. You go, wow. There's
off
so
the
many
top of my head, I have two right now.
Right.
Like, absolutely.
So then it's just, like, that's a different conversation of just, like, no, it's not that I want the same thing you do. It's, oh, I want something else. Do you know of anyone in the area?
Yes.
Or I'm moving across the province. Do you know of anyone in that area?
Yes.
Those are all fine conversations. We welcome
absolutely.
Them. That's fine. What I do not welcome is just... I want the same thing, but a little bit closer to me.
Or cheaper. Straight up just like, oh, I just really want this
even
cheaper.
Though I like what we've done.
Yeah.
Even though I like the progress in my dog, even though I think you've done this well, even though...
Ooh, thunder.
The gods don't like that either.
No.
The fates are not impressed.
That was a gooder. Ooh, that is good. Wow. Yeah, so moral of the story, like, yes, especially if you've seen progress, like, that is quite rude. Like, that's more an after thing, though. By the time you get to that point, you're done as a client at that point. But, yeah, up until that point, if you could not, that'd be great. I have no issue if you go to this trainer for this thing and you come to this for me.
No.
But I do have an issue if you're like, I'm going to do mod with this one and this one.
No,
it's like if you go to do agility with this person and sport with this person and mod with this person, those are three very different things.
Sure.
But if you're sitting there saying, well, I need mod. I'm coming to you. But then you go, well, I actually am still training with another trainer, or I have a trainer coming to like work with my dog in my house like one day a week while I'm at work and they're doing mod and this. I'm like, whoa. That's not how that works. So, and I have no issue with other trainers, but like either finish with one trainer completely. Cause the other thing is a lot of training plans are built on like a progression. They're built on a specific time frame. So if you're like, quote unquote, not seeing progress with that trainer and you are two lessons in of seven, you might not, they might be the trainer for you. You just need to wait it out. Right. But if you're coming at one approach and then you're also coming from another approach and then you're also coming from another approach all at the same time, all that's going to do is confuse your dog. So it's one thing to do like sports with one person, mod with one person, this and that. That's fine. And then have a dog walker. Like those are three very different things, but it is very, very different to try and do mod from two different angles or try. It's like, you know, doing agility with one, doing agility with another. Sometimes people teach them differently. But then, yes, to come to a trainer afterwards and be like, wow, I've had so many trainers before this. Now, wow, this has been so good. My dog is so good now. So, like, can you recommend anybody else? Just because I am literally 30 minutes away. I just don't want to drive on the highway, to be honest. And I'm like,
no.
No, I actually don't. I'm so sorry. Do the Googling. But, yeah. Yeah, so, like... Don't be rude.
When you're communicating with a client before you, like, when you're communicating with the trainer before you even see them, don't make it complicated.
Yes. Oh, my
like
God.
Like, if you're emailing a trainer or, like, calling them or in contact or you're about to see them or you're scheduling something.
Yes.
Don't make it complicated. Do what they say.
Yes.
And be very clear.
Yes.
That's really it.
Yeah. I, like, from the get-go, when people are even unclear just about, like, scheduling, we're like, hey, give us your available dates and times. And people are like, they're either willing to say, like, hey, Mondays, and that's it. And that's all the clarification they get. Or they're like, well, this one time, and then a month later, these 2 days, and then this. And it's like, well, give me your dates and times. No, I'm trying to schedule, like, 100 people. Not me. Haley. St. Haley is trying to schedule, like, 100 people at the same time. You need to give us your availability, because I'm going to tell you, by the time I tell you where my available spots are, you could wait 4 hours, and that would have changed drastically, because 3 of those 100 people have responded and taken slots. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's not how this works. So don't make things complicated before. And if you've given us a full history, a lot of people, like, they schedule their stuff, and they're so excited. But then they're like, so what can I do before I start? And I'm like, keep on keeping on, right? Yeah. Like, let's not get crazy.
Yep.
Just chill. We'll see you in a couple weeks. It's okay. Don't change anything, but I'm glad you're excited. I'm glad you're enthusiastic.
Like, yeah.
But there is something to be said for, oh my God, I was so enthusiastic that I then launched into something without knowing kind of what I was doing or where I was coming at. And I made an oopsies and I screwed it up. Because some people are like, well, my dog's really scared. So you had one the other day that was like, my dog's really scared. My dog's always been really scared. Well, I really want my dog to be less scared, so I'm just bringing it everywhere.
Yes.
I'm now bringing it everywhere.
Well, like,
and you were like, is that going well? And they're like, wow, he's petrified, but we're still doing it. And I was like, whoa.
I've even had ones that, like, because in between sometimes when they schedule things and when they actually are able to come in, there is a little bit of a gap of time. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we panic and we buy certain tools. We throw
Let's not do that.
Oh my gosh. I just wanted to, whatever. We panic and buy tools. The other thing we do is we, like, panic and try and do some Googling.
Oh,
and we try and do our own Google training. Even though you have a session scheduled, sometimes we get a puppy before we do the training. Yep. Please don't do that. That's just a little tangent. That's a separate tangent. If you've scheduled training for a trainer with one dog.
That has problems. Just to be clear, it wasn't like you were prepping for your puppy and were like, I'm going to pre-train. Like, there were problems.
In between scheduling the training and attending the training, if you could not add more animals to the house, that would be really cool. Especially
on no notice, it was just like a whim you had when you saw something on Kijiji.
Like, I'm all for the Amazon buy now button, but like...
Not a dog.
Yeah.
Like, not a living creature.
Let's not go, okay, I've booked training and I know that's in a month away.
I'm okay with impulse buying
plants. But in 2 weeks, not dogs. Let me just quickly... Get a dog. Get a cat.
Surprise.
How about, it's okay, like, maybe after.
Maybe don't.
Maybe after, we'll put a pin in that thought, but maybe just don't get a dog. Don't don't panic buy tools. Don't panic Google training. Don't
impulse
panic.
Purchase tools, animals, any of that.
Training,
nope.
Don't,
nope.
Like, just literally change nothing about your routine. Don't change anything about anything you've done with your dog, because
you've
you know,
lived
in a month,
with that as it is for 4 years.
In a month, I will tell you what you can and should change. But until then, just keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
It's cool as a cucumber, folks.
We love the enthusiasm. We're here for the enthusiasm. However, we also don't want to confuse the dog. We're coming at this from... We don't want to confuse the dog. And if you are like, okay, I'm finally committed to training. Let's say you have a 3 or 4 year old dog and their life has been a certain way for 3 or 4 years. And you're like, okay, this is a problem. I actually have the money and the time to deal with this problem. They've had that problem for 3 years. If you book in with a trainer and let's say you can't get in for 4 to 6 weeks, which is very, very, very common with good trainers.
Especially now.
If in that 4 to 6 weeks... You are enthusiastic, so you are just trying to be like, well, now someone's going to be seeing my dog in person in a couple weeks, and they're going to judge my dog or something, so I want to make it the best situation possible. So this week, I'm going to Google this, and I'm going to try this, but that's not going to go well. And then the next week, you're going to, you know, pull Facebook, and Facebook's going to tell you to do something different. And then you're going to go impulse buy a few tools, and you're going to throw them on your dog. And then by the time you see that trainer 6 weeks later, that dog is now so confused. Not only do you have the first problem to deal with, you now have 14
a
other problems.
A different Gordian knot we got to work through. Like,
yeah, the dog is very confused and very overtraining by that point because it will have been very confusing.
Yes.
So let's stay away from that. We love the enthusiasm.
I was
going to
say, we love the enthusiasm, but whatever has sparked this uproar of enthusiasm, remember that A, nothing has changed for the dog.
Yeah.
So let's not try and put that on them. And then B, it's like, we got to follow up enthusiasm with like, well thought out action.
Yes. Yes. That's we best. Don't want to just explode in all directions.
Love Pep.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Oh, another good client one. I actually like questions. I was like questions. I say that
too.
I want you to come back maybe by the second time. Like, maybe not in the first time. Well, the first time I want you to have questions about, like, us and what we do.
Yeah,
and
that's fine. Yeah, sure.
But by the second time, like, I want you to have questions about, like, the thing we're doing. So you're like, well, I was doing it. And like, this didn't go well. What could I have done differently? Or why did this work for you? Like, I see you doing this with my dog. Why did that not work for me? Why? If your question is just why.
That's so nice.
I'm so impressed.
Like, because again, back to the, we know you're not a dog trainer.
Yeah.
We don't expect you to know why.
Yeah.
It's our job to know why.
Yeah. So caring enough to ask why, we're here for it.
That's a big, big bonus.
Absolutely.
And it's also like, if you have questions, I always love it because if you have questions, if we spend the first 20 minutes of our next set, like of our second or third session answering questions, I actually quite like that. Because then it's like, yeah, we may not be adding a bunch more homework, but like if we're spending 20 minutes asking questions, it means we actually did stuff through the week that we had questions about.
I just finished her first round of sessions. So we did three as a like, let's see if we're a good fit because we weren't sure if it was a good fit. It was an excellent fit. Love this lady. She's great. And the third one, she brought out her phone. She had her notes app open. She's like, listen, I have questions. And I was like, let's hear it. And she's like, so I was doing it this way. And I was doing it on this day. And this is the thing. And then this happened. And no idea. No idea why he did that, what he did. Also, this question. Also, why would I do this? Also, can I do this? Can I do it this way? I was like, this is beautiful.
Right. Like, whether you're opening the session or to be very honest, even like, let's say that the whole session is done and like towards the end kind of thing, even the people who are like, okay, sorry, I know I have one last question, but I just want to make sure I understand. They always preface it with going like, oh, sorry, but like, I'm actually okay with it because you're like, if something in the past hour, maybe like now that you've marinated on it for 10 minutes, something is like, okay, but I don't know how that would work in my life.
Or, oh, beautiful. Oh,
I don't know exactly how I'd try this. Yeah, ask now. I love that. Again, ask the question.
Yes.
Because either it's a quick answer or, oh, I didn't know. If we have to explain it deeper, I know that for next time. Like, it's just questions are good. It's okay to ask questions. Good
clients ask questions. As a heads up, so there are a lot of clients now, or there are a lot of trainers now that do like email support, text support, like all this online support. There are also trainers who do not. So it is absolutely a very fair question to ask, hey, can I email you in between or not? For example, we do not.
No.
That is not a thing we do. But there are other trainers that do that. And we absolutely know that some people come from those trainers. So that's the expectation going into it. But that is a very, very fair question to ask is like, hey, like, do you guys do support in between? Like what? And if there's like an incident, we want you to email us. We want you to tell us if there's a life problem or the dog has a problem. Like if there's a big thing, you know, think like level 7 or 8 or above.
Email us.
100%. If it's like a, hey, I went to do this way and I tried to use kibble and that didn't work, so I used hot dogs. Is that okay? That's not the level of support we do. But that's fine. Other trainers do that. But a very, very valid question just to find out if you're a good fit, but also just to make sure that relationship is very clear is like, hey, is there support in between or like, how do I do that? Because we tell everyone like through your week, because we schedule everything ahead of time before we see you. So we know exactly how long it is in between each time we see you. And we tell people like, hey, when you go home, like do your things, take a notebook, write down your question. And if that question is answered in 3 days by yourself, cool, cross it out. However, write down all your questions between now and when you see me next. And you're probably going to cross off most of them yourself because you're going to figure them out yourself. But bring that notebook with you and the three that you haven't answered, bring those with you so that we can answer them then. 100% we're there to answer them then. But I will say that doesn't say like, hey, that makes you a great client or not. There's some people that really, really want clients to update them all the time.
Yeah.
There are also some people that really, really do not do communication in between. We only do communication in between personally if it's a very significant incident. But we also have a very, very high volume of clients.
So.
We take a lot more clients than people know, and we also take a lot more services. There are they're like trainers. Most of the time, the trainers that do heavy in between support take like
they do private lessons.
They do private lessons. They might do group lessons, but that's it.
They teach.
We're fairly large sized facility in our services.
Yeah.
So we can't do that. Like we physically cannot do that. So that's unfortunate, but like that's just also a really good thing for you to ask people. If that's what you expect and that's what will help
what you want,
you should hire a trainer that can do that.
Yeah.
I don't, if that's what you need help with, if you the person that needs that, I want that for you because
if that's
you
how
know
you learn
that.
And we'll do actually end up doing the homework and
absolutely
doing the things.
Then
cool.
Referring back to one of our other points, I will help you find a trainer
correct.
That does that. We all know each other, yes. It's fine. But if that's the support you need, cool, but like if that's the support you need, ask ahead of time, because if you are then emailing every day expecting that level of support and you are with a company that does not do that, that's not going to go well on either side, because you're going to be like, these trainers are ignoring me, and us as trainers are going, that's not a service we offer. It's written in several places it's not a service we offer, but it's just not. It's not a good match, right? So we like questions, but we also like, I like questions about dogs, but I also, at the beginning, one of the very valid questions that you can ask if you have a specific way you communicate or thing you need is to ask about that.
Yeah.
Because, yes, it just keeps everybody from knowing that they know their boundaries ahead of time.
Again, we're being honest and we're being clear
mm-hmm.
in that first
my
interaction.
My God, honesty and clarity. That's half of it
we
right
love
there.
It.
We do love it. I have straight up trained people in different languages.
Like, yes.
And some of them are the best clients I've had because everything is very clear because we have to use very simple language. And we're like, hey, we're all meeting in the middle here.
Yes.
It's phenomenal, right? Oh, the clarity there is great.
Yep.
Clarity there has always been great. What else can we say is like a, hey.
How to be a good client.
Yeah.
Buy me things. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, everyone's, Sienna's very clear. I'm like, listen, she's like,
I do accept bribery.
Yeah, Sienna will accept bribery for you to get on her top 10 client list.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But I do like donuts. I'm just kidding.
I like clients that, like, they are willing to take the time out of their life. Like, be willing to take the time to train your dog. Be like, and by that, I mean some people, when they go to give availability or when they go to schedule stuff in, they go, well.
Don't just give their free time. They'll be like.
Yeah. They're like, well, I end work at 5, but I'm tired after working this. And this is like, you know, it's one thing if you're looking for puppy training, but it's another if you're like, oh, my dog has this severe behavioral issue. It's living in fear. This dog is terrified. This dog is, it was attacked by a dog on the street. Now it's terrified of other dogs. Mm. Like. Okay, your work ends at 5. I know you're tired, but like your dog is living in not a great state.
Nah.
So in that situation, you are free after 6, right? You're going to get home. You're going to do that because your dog is living in
that.
Not. Yeah, it's not
that.
Having a great time. If you're looking for puppy training and your availability is the weekend, you get off at 5, that's fine. That's fine because there's no crisis. There's no, you're just looking to enrich both your lives. But again, the majority of what we deal with is Maude, and a lot of the dogs
you're having issues.
Yeah. A lot of the dogs that we see come in, if your reactivity with your dog is so bad that you cannot walk your dog.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot walk your dog. Your dog is not going for walks. Your dog has not left the house except to go to the backyard for 4 months. And you don't want to go after work one day a week. Like, your dog is not being exercised. Your dog is not getting outside. Your dog is living a very,
mentally
very, very small life. It's going a little crazy. And, I mean, I'm sorry that you will be tired that day, but I'm also like, you are being responsible for another living creature.
Yep.
That means sometimes you might be a little tired, right? So like depending on the level of issue, I do think being a good client is sometimes like, again, being
circling,
aware of the level
say,
of
circling
problems.
Back to self-awareness, just being aware that like, okay, this dog does an issue, so this is my responsibility to fix.
Yes.
So then this will be my responsibility to carve time out of my day to
yes.
make the schedule change to
yes.
do whatever.
Yes. People that are willing to change their life, and I'm not talking change your life drastically. People that are willing to like take the extra step for their dog and, like, yes, go after work. And or, yes, drive the 20 minutes.
It's not even maybe change your life for, like, ever. It's maybe change your life for the
next 7 weeks. No, it's literally, this is a 5-session package. Like, right. For 5 weeks. For the next
2 months.
Yeah.
Change it. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Leave work a little bit early.
Yeah. Again, we're not asking for the moon. We're not saying, hey, train your dog 5 hours every day. We're literally, like, one day a week after work, could you do something with your dog who is petrified? Who's
suffering?
Yeah. Please? Suffering.
Just maybe an idea.
It's a thought. We're just spitballing here. We're just spitballing. Things that would be good.
Would be nice.
Would be excellent.
Super cool.
Yeah. Just bare minimum, folks. Bare minimum. Yeah. Sorry, we're going for above bare minimum. For people that would like to be above bare minimum.
Yes.
Yeah, and for the love of God, show up with so much food. Have you had the people that show up with Ziplocs? With five pieces of kibble?
In the past 2 weeks, I've had so many people literally run out of treats in the first 10 minutes. And I always go, okay. But then on the flip side, the one client, I love her. She shows up with two baggies stuffed to the brim with hot dogs and like livers and cheese. I love her because she comes the first lesson, which like the assessment and stuff, she comes out and she opens her little fanny pack and boom, two high value little zip bags that are stuffed to the brim. And I'm like,
yes, look at you go.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I love when people pull out the Ziploc and it's not even a quarter full and it's got like 5 milk bones or something.
Or just their kibbles.
It's a handful of kibble and like a handful of milk bones and it's stuffed in like the back pocket of the jeans. And people are like,
here's a good
this is enough for an
here's
hour.
A good client. Be prepared. Have your leash. Have all the
things
you
need. Oh my
God,
yes. Have
a
leash.
Like if, because for example, if you've maybe done a lesson or something and they've given you something or you have to bring something back, like have it with you and bring it into the building with you and have it on the dog if the dog wears the thing or just like be prepared. And you know, this is coming from a girly who... Well, I have all my stuff all the time, actually. I was going to say,
you do have all your stuff all the time because, okay, so Sienna does not show up to work with, like, a knapsack or, like,
backpack.
A side bag.
A lunch kit.
Sienna shows up with a grocery tote.
I have
one of those 2-foot by 1-foot, like
bins.
Big bins. Yeah. Like, she shows up with a bin.
I'm like, when I first started, it used to just be a tote, but, like, I've just decided that's silly. And, like, I'm more of, like, I hate rifling through totes. So my nice, large Rubbermaid bin.
Yes. And the fun thing is, so every now and then, I do this really fun thing where I go, hey, like, what's all in there? And when I tell you, this girl is prepared for the apocalypse, a beach party, a camping trip, and possibly some form of like WITSEC program all at the same time. Like
my 2014 YouTube shopping haul goals are always accomplished because it always changes. I've got a rotating selection, folks.
You do.
And you know, it's just fun to like explore. But so like I'm actually, I'd rather have everything and be overprepared. Like, for
you
example,
are.
Right now, if you said, okay, you got to live out of your car for the next 3 days, I could do it successfully.
You, yes.
And not even, like, be struggling or panic. Like, I'd be like, sick, let's go.
Yeah. You have at least 2 changes of clothes in there. You've got definitely 3 or 4 pairs of shoes. You've got enough food to last you 3 days
for sure.
Got all
the toiletries. I could, like, and let's be clear, I could live in my car for 3 days with Oakley.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
Like, just to clarify.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, be prepared. And I'm not even saying, like, you have to be extra.
Yeah, you don't even have to be crazy about it. You don't have to show up with, like, you know, every single thing you've ever bought your dog.
No.
But, like, if we have talked about muzzle, maybe bring your muzzle.
I love that.
If we are training and you know we're training, maybe bring, yes, not 5 pieces of kibble, but like a whole ass Ziploc. I'd rather you have more food and not use it than not have enough.
And
right?
I'd rather you bring, personally, again, this might be a preference thing, but I'd rather you pack the smelliest, grossest, like wettest, like moist food.
Absolutely.
Or wet food.
Oh, I
or
didn't
want
to smell. Bro, I smell.
Right.
I smell like what you didn't want to put in your pockets. I guarantee you, I have put 14 packages of hot dogs in my pockets today.
Pocket dogs.
Yeah, I'm like, you didn't want to smell like
freeze-dried
liver.
On
Does
you, what
that
are
even
doing?
Smell? Really? At this point, I don't think freeze-dried liver has a smell. It's fine.
Yeah.
No. No, I pull up cheese and I'm like, wow, when did I put that in there?
I love I love the good petrified cheese that I get in my
pocket. Yes. I'm like, no,
But yeah.
Also, okay, this is a good one. Please bring shoes.
Closed-toed, please.
Please, please don't show up in flip-flops or what do Americans call them? Slides?
Slide. Yeah. What do Americans call them?
Yeah, here people call them, like, flip-flops and sandals.
Slides. But well, like, they're different. Flip-flops and slides are different, just so you know.
Well, okay, yes, but the toe thing and the not toe thing. But I thought slides were really only an American
no,
thing.
No, slides. Well, now, in 2023, yeah, no, everybody has slides. Nobody calls them flip-flops.
Keep yeah, well, okay, I'm old, you're fine. But, like, the amount of people that have shown up in, like, slides... That and no socks. And first off, we live on a sand dune and you're about to train your dog. Second off, I'm going to make you trot backwards. You are going to lose your shoes. Like, session one, we do go backwards a little bit. We take 4 or 5 quick steps backwards. That is the first thing we do. And they all lose their shoes. They all lose their shoes.
And, like, I get...
and the other thing is, like, okay, so we're 3 or 4 sessions in. You know you're about to do walking. You have been to our property before. I am essentially a sand dune and a farm. If a sand dune and a farm had a baby, it would be my property mixed with extra dog poop and urine.
Like, here's why I love that, though. I'm just thinking in the wrong group class, and Haley might have to edit that out. But, like, this one group class where you were there and you were watching where the dog was
reactive. Oh, yes, dude. Went right out of flying.
The flip-flops went flying. I'm like, most of the class bare feet.
Well, and this is the thing, is especially if you're bringing your reactive dog to, like, a group class. Like, if you are bringing your dog to practice walking on the farm / sand dune love child that is my driveway, like, bro, you've been here before. Like, at least sandals with straps. Like,
you don't need cleats.
Like, I'm here. I am all about training in Crocs. I am here for Crocs. I'm here for sport mode. I have so many pairs of Crocs. I will train anything in Crocs for any length of time in all weather. I will train outside in Crocs in minus 20. I don't care. I have outdoor minus 20 Crocs. But, like, sport mode exists. You no, like, it's pouring rain, well, it's like, covered in mosquitoes, and you show up and there's no shoes, there's no footwear.
That will, to me, it also just extends in general. And again, I understand that we are more, like, outdoorsy property than most, but just, like, if you've been here before.
Certainly if you've been here before. If you haven't been here before, I almost get it. Where maybe,
like, if it's really windy out or, like, it's raining, for example, bring a jacket, not shorts.
But, like, I'm also, maybe... like, you're training your dog, like, you're going somewhere with your dog, like... Your dog is so reactive you can't walk it, but you've decided to come to a dog training facility with your dog in flip-flops.
I will say.
And I'm like, okay, but you're doing something with your dog.
There was the one client, like, the winter before, I do remember, because she got in the car, and out of the car, and it was winter, and she was wearing, like, snow pants, snow jacket, like, ready to go, and she goes, are we inside? Because she didn't know, and I'm just like... And it was, like, minus 30. This is December. This is dead of winter. And so I just, like, she was prepared to do her very first dog training lesson outside. Yes. And I was like, no, we're going to be inside.
Yeah. Yeah. We live in a place where, like, yes, in the dead of winter, you're going to get very, very seriously injured if you're outside for more than 5 minutes. Right. And yes, we have actually had
She was over-prepared. She was.
Yes. People show up last year for several sessions, actually, because they were doing walking with two dogs. And they showed up fully, fully suited to be outside for walking every time. And I walked outside with them once on, like, a day when it was only, like, minus 18. It was okay. Because they were super prepared. Yeah. So I'm like, okay. But they came prepped every time. And one of the times they came was at least minus 35. And I was like, no, guys, we're not going outside. Okay. And they were like, well, we were ready. They were ready. Their dogs were ready. Everybody had, like, booties, jacket, done.
Ready to go.
And I was like, okay. But yeah, there's a lot of, like...
So shoes.
Shoes. Wear shoes. I'm actually... My standards are, like, Alishan shoes. Whoa. And I would really love for you to have food.
Is it getting hot in here? You're wearing shoes and you have a leash.
Yeah, and, like, if your dog doesn't like a leash... If your dog doesn't like a leash. If your dog doesn't like food, like... Like,
still bring
but,
it.
But, and then you literally go, well, my dog doesn't like food, but it loves ball. Oh my God, loves ball. I'm like, did you bring the ball? And they're like, absolutely not. And I'm like,
that's a good idea.
Yes, bring the motivator. Bring what your dog really likes. We would appreciate that. That would be great. It's helpful. Prepared.
Be prepared.
Yes. Be prepared. You're going somewhere with your dog. If you're not prepared to come to the dog place, like, we can spot you a leash, we can spot you some liver, but, like,
that's the thing.
If you take your dog for a walk, like, what are you going to bring? Like,
like, yeah, like, this is BYOB, please. Like, yeah. Bring your stuff. If I decide to add stuff, I can add stuff, and that's on me.
Yeah.
But if you can bring what you normally have, that's cool. I also always love it when it's just like, oh, I walked my dog on this tool. Well, did you bring it? No.
No, I absolutely didn't.
Well, how did you think we were going to walk from the car to the building?
Yeah.
So.
And how did you think you were going to walk during the session? And they're like, oh, well, I just figured I wouldn't be walking at all. You are here for leash reactivity, sir.
Yes, maybe.
You are going to be doing some walking at some point.
Maybe.
Yeah. Next time we're going to bring what you normally have as your setup, please. Yep. Oh, okay. All the pieces of it too. I got to specify that.
Now. Yeah. Just everything.
Just everything. I used to tell people regularly. I haven't in a while. I used to tell people, bring your whole drawer. Everybody has a dog drawer or like a dog bin or whatever.
Bring it.
Bring the whole drawer. Just put it in your car. You don't even have to bring it all in. But bring everything you got.
We'll do a shopping haul together.
Yeah, it'd be fun. We'll tell you what to keep.
My bag.
Yes, it'd be great. Again, we'd rather you just have
too much
all the things. Than not enough. And if you need them, great. Then we all of a sudden need them, and you're like, ah, that's at home. Well, that's not super helpful. So, yes, there's that. So yeah, be prepared.
Be prepared. Anything else?
I don't know. I'm totally good with a client that's just very clear, is honest,
has questions,
has shoes, like. We know you're not a dog trainer.
Yes.
Like, we don't want you to be a dog trainer. I don't want you to show up. And conversely, if you've gone out and tried to kit yourself out with all of the dog trainer gear before you show up, like, that's more just kind of mystifying than anything else. But, like, you don't need to have all the fancy stuff. No. You don't need to, you know all the things.
You don't need to know everything.
Yeah, you literally just need to be like, I'm here for help with my dog.
Oh, love that.
Awesome. Wonderful. Love that.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Don't lie.
Yeah. Be, like, fairly self-aware. Mm. Be able to see what in your dog's behavior is actually a priority for your dog.
Realistic goals.
And its life. Oh, my God. Realistic goals are the shit.
Yeah.
I love that.
We're all about them here.
We are. Those are fantastic. Yeah.
And,
God, realistic goals. Yeah, be prepared. Bring shoes. Bring food. Bring shoes. Bring a leash.
Bring a dog.
Yeah, that too. 100%. Like, again,
bring your dog.
Oh, yeah.
Don't.
Also, a side note, please don't bring strange animals. Like, don't bring, and I literally mean, don't bring animals you find on the side of the road, please. Like on the way to me, if you're driving to us and you see a stray animal on the side of the road and you think I should take this animal from the side of the road, catch it and bring it to Steph, please don't.
Like, I'm a tardy person. I'm not an early person. But if the reason that you're 10 minutes late is that you brought a different animal.
Yeah. Also, I live in a farm area. So there are farm cats.
And farm dogs.
Yeah, that you like sometimes see on the side of the road. And that is not,
it's not yours. Don't take it.
Please. Also, I've had someone show up with just like throwing the dog loose in the back of the car with his dog loose in the back of the car.
I was going to say, what's funny is like, it's not even like this has happened once. Like,
no, this has happened multiple times. Like, this is actually like, I'm making a point of saying this because like, also, people have shown up with an animal that was not a dog. They literally like caught a farm cat in the middle of the road, and then brought it with them. And they were like, "This farm cat was like on the road," and we were like, "Was it outside a farm?" And they were like, "Yes, it was."
Okay.
Why did
you kidnap
the
cat?
What?
Yes. You kidnapped a dog. Good job, guys.
I'm like, okay, but...
You're making us an accomplice.
Well, they're do you want it? Like, and I'm like, no, that's someone's cat, bro. That lives in a barn that you caught it right by a very large farm, you know, 10 minutes from my place. That's actually someone's cat. Don't want it, actually. I need you to go put that back where you found it.
So.
And then they were like, well, where do we put it during the lesson? And we were literally like... That was a question that we handled. But like, yes, please don't bring animals that aren't yours.
Yeah.
Strange animals you find on the side of the road.
No.
Nope. For so many reasons, actually.
So.
But yeah.
Those are all good Good tips those and are tricks.
Good tips and tricks. Good tips. You know where you ask for tips and tricks? From a podcast. This is the place to ask for tips and tricks, my friend.
Yeah, drop them in the comments below.
Yeah, you want tips and tricks? Here we go. Tips and tricks here. Not in a, like, hey, I have this really serious behavior issue. My dog has bit three people. Do you have any tips or tricks to make it safe for my dog sitter?
What's the trick?
What? Like, what?
What's the trick, Steph?
Yeah. Yeah, my dog has been absolutely petrified of this for 3 years, but now I have to make my dog do this. Yeah. So do you have any tips for doing that?
Sometimes we're beyond tips and tricks.
Yeah, sometimes we need
professional
training
help.
Programs. Professional help. And training programs. Just saying.
Those are all great.
That is my tip and trick. This is the venue for tips and tricks.
I know.
Wow. Right. Good times. All right. Well, good talk.
Bye.
Okay, bye.